from the city by the Golden Gate. This is KSSR DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. It's time for Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's crime classics with the story of Blackbeard's 14th wife. But first, on the lighter side, let's spend some time with my friend Irma. My Friend Irma was first heard on CBS in early 1947. Irma was a law firm stenographer by trade. She lived in a ramshackle apartment run by the crusty Mrs. O'Reilly. Her roommate, Jane Stacy, was almost her opposite, completely sane, dependable, logical in every way that Irma was not. In October of 1947, when My Friend Irma was less than 6 months old, a Time magazine reviewer described it as, quote, a follower in the artfully stumbling footsteps of Gracie Allen, Jane Ace, and other attractive dunderheads. Parts were played by radio's best-known voices. Kathy Lewis was Jane, John Brown played Al, Hans Conried was Professor Kropotkin, and Gloria Gordon was Mrs. O'Reilly. In 1953-54, the final season, My Friend Irma was carried by a variety of sponsors on Tuesday nights. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with My Friend Irma and The Big Secret from March of 1948, another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen, Sally Folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Mar, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Lever Brothers Company, makers of Swan, presents
My Friend Irma.
Starring Mary Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgotten, theirs will still be hot.
Make four. But I have news for you. This does not apply if you happen to live with Irma Peterson. Take the other day, Irma was in the kitchen holding a pan in her hand and doing cartwheels. So I said, honey, what's the idea of doing cartwheels while you hold that pan?
Well, the recipe says place ingredients in the pan and keep turning.
Give that a second thought, but at the present moment, there's no time for it. My employer, and incidentally, the guy I love, has just phoned that he's coming over on a matter of great importance, and I can't imagine what it can be. Irma?
Yes, Jane?
What do you think Richard has on his mind? What's the matter, sweetie? You're crying.
He's going to propose. And I'll be all alone with just Al. I'll have nobody.
Oh. Honey, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, please, Jane, I've seen it coming. The last two times Richard was here, he had that dizzy look in his eyes.
That was only because you were engaging him in conversation. Irma, I refuse to let your imagination run away with the two of us. Now, that must be Richard. Now, don't let him know that we were discussing anything personal.
I won't.
Okay. Come in.
Hello, Jane.
Hello, Irma.
Hello, Richard.
Oh, Richard, we were just talking about you.
Oh, me?
Oh, it was nothing personal. We were just wondering if you came over to propose.
Irma!
You know, Richard, you'll make a wonderful father.
Irma, will you please go in the kitchen and dry the dishes?
But they're dry.
Well, wet them and dry them over.
Irma, I have something personal that I'd like to discuss with Jane.
Oh, I knew I was right. Something told me. I guess it's my feminine institution.
You'll just have to forgive this outburst, Richard. You understand Irma.
No, I don't. But then again, who does? Well, Jane, I've just been on the phone to Washington. You know that block of war surplus buildings that I discussed with you?
Yeah.
Well, the group that I represent feels that they'd make a wonderful recreation center for New York's underprivileged children.
Oh, but Richard, don't you think other interests would want to grab them for commercial purposes?
Yes, that's the great danger. But if I can see Senator McClain in Washington tomorrow, I'm sure that we can swing this recreation project for the children before the others even know what's happening.
You know, Richard, Irma was right. You would make a wonderful father.
Well, that's an entirely different sort of project. Jane, I'm leaving for Washington in the morning, and just for the day, and I'd like you to come along.
Oh, I'm practically packed.
And I'll help you finish, Jane.
Irma, were you listening at the door?
Oh, just when it's so important that my trip be kept a secret, too.
Well, I'll keep it a secret. Oh, gee, Jane, I'd love to go to Washington.
Oh, but, sweetie, this is a business trip.
Oh, but I've never been to Washington. Everyone goes there. Even my graduating class went there.
Why didn't you go?
I didn't have anything to wear. Besides, I didn't graduate. Oh, please, Richard, can't I go with you and Jane?
Well, all right, Irma. I don't mind taking one extra along, and, well, seeing Washington might prove very educational for you.
Oh, you're right, and I'll be able to see for myself the difference in the electricity down there.
The difference in electricity?
Yes, New York is AC, but Washington is DC.
Honey, that means District of Columbia.
Listen, Irma, I don't mind taking you along, but remember that this matter must be kept an absolute secret. This is what we call top drawer stuff.
Don't worry, I'll pack everything.
Jane, will you call American Airlines and then try to get reservations at the Statler Hotel for me?
All right, Richard, I will.
I'll see you later. Goodbye, girls.
Bye, Richard.
Goodbye. Oh, Jane, I'm so excited.
Well, I'm glad, honey. But remember now, no one is to know that Richard is going to Washington.
Oh, just have confidence in me, Jane. I think I'll get out my suitcase and pack.
Well, there stands Irma packing for her trip to Washington. Such packing you have never seen. She's using the bag that Al gave her for Christmas. Al says it's airplane luggage. To me, it looks like it was dropped from 10,000 feet. Now Irma's putting in the things she'll need. Now she's opening the bag and putting in the largest purse I have ever seen. I suppose that's because she's heard that in Washington, everyone passes the buck. But now here's something I can't understand. Irma, why are you taking along your old X-ray pictures?
Well, the doctor says I'm all right, but I still want to have them checked by the Secretary of the Interior.
Oh. Come in.
Show me, Professor Kropotkin. Oh, girl, I'm so shaken. What an experience I just had.
What happened?
I was standing on the corner and a gas station blew up. So I ran across the street. As soon as I got there, a great big electric sign falls down from the explosion. So I run across to the other side. I'm no sooner on the sidewalk than one of the gas pumps comes down and just misses my head. So I run to the next corner.
Oh, that's dreadful. Was there a policeman around?
Yeah, I got 3 tickets for jaywalking. What a day. Irma, darling, what are you doing with that suitcase?
I'm going to Washington with Jane and Richard.
Oh, Irma, why must you broadcast everything?
Washington? Janie, you think it'd be possible for me to come along?
Oh, well, Professor, this is a business trip, and
well, I'll tell you what's on my mind. As you know, I have slowly been developing a liking for Mrs. O'Reilly.
Yes, we know. We're thrilled about it.
Yeah, but we still fight day and night. Now, I have heard that a different environment often makes a change in people. So I was thinking, since you're going to Washington, I would take Mrs. O'Reilly along. Of course, I realize the danger. I'm liable to walk her past the Smithsonian Institute and I'll never see her again.
Well, Professor, I can't invite you to join us. You see, Richard's going on a highly confidential type of business, and I just haven't the right to.
Oh, I understand, Janie. Have a nice trip, girls. Mrs. O'Reilly and I can wait. Someday I'll take her to the Petrified Forest. Maybe there she'll look a little younger. Goodbye.
Well, Jane, I've almost finished packing. Oh, Jane, have you seen that large envelope Al left here?
You mean that petition he sent weeks ago to his congressman?
Yes, maybe while we're in Washington, we can get somebody interested in it.
Irma, I have read that petition, and believe me, it has no chance. Congress will never raise the unemployment check to $300 a week. Come in.
Hello, Jane. Hiya, chicken.
Hello, Al, honey. Oh, Jane and I are getting ready to go to Washington with Richard tomorrow.
Oh, Irma, I just got through telling you it's a secret, honey.
Going to Washington, huh? Too bad you can't stick around in my moment of triumph. My greatest deal.
Is it anything like your last one? You know, pumping up cranberries and selling them for apples?
No, sir. This one is a blessing to young lovers. A money-saving sofa.
A money-saving sofa?
Uh-huh. It's got a built-in mallet. And when you're sitting there with your girl, you step on a pedal, and the mallet knocks out her kid brother who's hiding there waiting to blackmail you for a quarter. Great, huh, chicken? Chicken, why do you look so depressed?
Oh, well, I'm going to miss you when I'm in Washington.
I'm going to miss you, too, chicken. Don't like the idea of you being on the loose in Washington. In that confused state that you're always in, you're liable to wind up in some high government position.
I won't have a good time if you're not with me.
Feel the same way, chicken. Don't like it when you're away. Too much temptation for a young man when he's alone in this town. Pretty girls give me the come on. I'm only human. How long can a guy stand in the corner tilting pinball machines?
Now, listen, the two of you. If all this is for my benefit, you're just wasting your time. This is a business trip, not a convention for the Lonely Hearts Club.
Oh, but, Jane, we won't be in your way. I know. I'll go with Al, and the professor can take Miss O'Reilly.
And we'll meet you when your business is finished.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. Richard always stops at the Statler in Washington. You can meet us there at 5.
That's the spirit, Jane. And Irma, since I'm your escort, I want one thing understood.
What, Al?
As long as I'm taking you, I insist on paying my own way.
Irma, do you ever get the feeling that you're running around with Diamond Jim Brady?
Oh, you just don't see Al the way I do. I know he has no money or a job or future, but I think for a failure, he's very successful.
Thank you, chicken. Well, I'll break the good news to the professor, and I better start packing. What am I talking about packing? Everything I own, I'm wearing. Well, so long, chicken. See you later.
Oh, Al, aren't you going to kiss me?
Okay, chicken. Here.
Al, why do you always glance from side to side while you're kissing me?
An old movie habit. Keep looking around for the usher. See you later, chicken.
Oh, gee, Jane, you're making so many people happy with this trip.
Thanks, sweetie, but remember now, you're the only one who knows why Richard's going to Washington. And if anybody finds out, those kids will never have a recreation center.
Oh, please, Jane, I won't say anything. You yourself have often said when I open my mouth, nothing comes out.
Yeah. All right, honey, I'll pack as soon as I get back from the beauty parlor. I better hurry. See you, honey.
Hello?
Hello, my name is Stanley Adams of the International Press. I understand this is the home of Richard Rhinelander's secretary. Are you she?
She? No, I'm not she. This is me. Irma Peterson.
Oh, well, could I speak to Miss Stacy?
Well, she just went out. Why don't you call when we come back from Washington?
Oh, so you're going to Washington. With Mr. Rhinelander, I suppose?
Look, don't pump me, because I'm not going to tell you about Senator McLean and the underprivileged children.
Well, I guess there's nothing more to be said. Got to make the 9 o'clock edition. Goodbye.
Goodbye. You'll have to get up early in the morning to fool me, and even then I'm not awake.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Richard and I have just arrived in Washington, and so far, so good. In a way, I'm happy that Irma and Al and the professor and Mrs. O'Reilly won't bother us for a few hours yet. I know I'd have a dreadful time explaining the sites of interest to Irma. I've already described the Lincoln Memorial to her. Despite everything I say, she still can't understand why Lincoln had to live in a log cabin when he had such a beautiful building available. Hello? Yes? Well, my name is Miss Stacy. Yes, I'm Mr. Rhinelander's secretary. We're trying to contact Senator McLean. Oh. Well, I'll try again.
No luck, Jane?
Same story, Richard.
I don't know what to think. Say, do you suppose someone else might have gotten to the senator before us?
Oh, no, Richard. I don't see how. Irma's the only one who knows anything about it, and I'm sure she's kept it a secret. That is, I'm as sure as you ever can be about Irma. I wonder who that could be. Come in. Oh, no. It's the four of you.
Yes, it's us, Jane.
Hello, Jamie.
Hiya, Rich.
Hello, Al.
Hello, folks. I thought you wanted to join us until 5 o'clock.
Oh, but you didn't say a.m. or p.m., and we didn't want to be late. Are you angry, Jane?
Oh, no, honey. But Richard can't contact Senator McLean. Irma... Are you sure you didn't tell anyone?
Oh, you know me better than that.
Well, there's one more contact I can try. A friend of my father's. I'll be back soon, Jane.
Oh, Jane, we've been having such fun visiting the places of interest.
Yeah, but not having much luck. Walked around the Mint 4 times. The windows were open, but the wind was blowing the wrong way.
That's too bad, Al. You couldn't get any samples.
Just one of them breaks. Tell me, Jane, is Richard really having trouble contacting the senator?
Oh, he's tried everything.
Well, when you're in a spot like this, there's only one man to call.
Oh, who else?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al. Yeah, I heard you were in Washington. How'd you do? No luck, huh? They won't make hijacking legal.
Oh, Al, stop wasting time.
Well, hold it, Jane. Never can tell. Joe, got a problem. Want to contact a senator. Now, who of the Washington senators do you know? Who? Play second base. No, Joe. Not them senators. The kind that don't play ball. You know a Senator McLean? Oh, you don't? What's your hurry, Joe? You got a pose for the government? Oh, they're taking your fingerprints. Well, thanks for trying, Joe. Goodbye.
You don't have to tell us, Al. We'll just wait and see what Richard accomplishes. Have some candy, Mrs. O'Reilly?
Oh, thank you, Jeannie. This has been such a delightful trip. The professor's been so flattering. He keeps admiring me dress.
Oh. Well, it is unusual.
Thank you. It was my grandmother's wedding gown. It's what they call colonial style.
Yes, and there's room enough in the back for Benjamin Franklin to fly his kite.
Oh, isn't he the kidder? When we were at the statue of George Washington, the guide said... This is the father of our country. And the professor pointed to me and said, meet his mother.
Well, I'm glad you're all having fun. Especially you, Professor.
Well, Janie, this trip is a blessing. Mrs. O'Reilly and I have never gotten along so well. You know, it's a funny thing. When I first saw Mrs. O'Reilly, I said, I wouldn't go near that old crow. And here I am, a bird fancier.
Make me feel like a girl again.
How do you like that? In 1 minute, I knocked off 100 years. Seriously, Mrs. O'Reilly, the reason I'm getting to like you is because we see more eye to eye. Like when we visited Congress, you said the Republicans were saving this country.
I said no such thing. I said the Democrats were saving it from the Republicans.
Now, wait a minute. You mean to stand there and tell me that the Democrats ever had one man to compare with Dewey?
Well, I don't think he should be president just because he once captured Manila.
Keep out of this, Irma. Mrs. O'Reilly, you mean I brought you down here all the way to Washington to find out you're a Democrat?
And what's wrong with being a Democrat? I happen to know a few things about these matters.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
Look, Mrs. O'Reilly, don't think you know everything about politics just because you helped Betsy Ross make the flag.
Why, you old broken down fiddle player, you.
Me you call broken down? By Humpty Dumpty with 6 unions couldn't put you together.
Why, you.
Oh, go ahead, say
for
it.
For goodness
say
sakes, Edward, please, we'll be thrown out of the hotel.
No, she's not going to talk to me that way. I'm getting out of here.
And so am I. And, Professor, if you ever dare talk to me again, I'll split your ticket. I'm going.
Oh, please. All of you, please.
Jane.
Richard, you're white. What's wrong?
Look at this newspaper headline.
Let me see it. Richard Rhinelander arrived in Washington to negotiate for purchase of a group of war surplus buildings. Oh, how awful. Oh, who could have...
Well, the article is bylined by a New York reporter, Stanley Adams.
Oh, what a coincidence. That's a nice young man who phoned me. Irma. Oh, no. You didn't tell him Richard was coming to Washington.
Well, I didn't say on what plane.
Oh.
Chicken, I know you're the champ at messing things up. But what are you trying to do, make the Olympic team?
I didn't mean anything.
Oh, Irma, now the whole recreation project is ruined. Someone else will beat us to it.
No, it's not my pride that matters. It's just all those kids.
I don't know why you all have to pick on me. Other people do things wrong. After all, this is Washington.
Now, honey, there's no sense in crying over spilled milk.
Go ahead, blame that on me, too. Goodbye, all of you.
I think I'd better go after her. If she ever gets in that Pentagon building, she'll be 60 years old before we find her.
No, Al, let her walk it off. She'll feel better.
Well, I guess we can catch the next train. There's no sense in trying to see the senator now.
Everyone picks on me. My best friends, even Al. Wait until the next time he wants a dance or a date, I'll say, listen, you, I'm through, and it won't do you any good to come crawling to me on your knees.
Lady, can I help it if I'm short?
This place? The Ford Theater. Oh, mister.
Yes, miss?
What's playing here?
Playing? Madam, this is the Ford Theater. It's now a national museum. Here is where Lincoln was shot by John Wilkes Booth. Now, would you like to go in?
No, thank you. I'd rather wait until the picture changes. Well, Al... Did you find her?
No, and I've been all over. I went out to Mount Vernon. I think she might have been there because they said a blonde girl dropped in, said she wanted a pound of Martha Washington candy.
Oh, Al, we've already missed our train. Shall we call the police?
Don't like to do business with people out of town. Let's wait.
What's the matter, lady? Are you lost?
No. I just want to sit here and think about what I've done to those poor children.
Well, how many children have you?
Thousands.
What?
And they're underprivileged. I mean, they're not mine. What's different.
Pardon me, officer.
Oh, good afternoon, Senator.
I was sitting on the next bench. I couldn't help but overhear the young lady.
Well, she doesn't make much sense to me. Maybe you better talk to her. Good day, Senator.
Good day. may I sit down, miss?
If you want to. Say, did that office call you, Senator?
That's right.
Well, what are you doing here?
Why, I like it here. It's my only chance to get away from people who keep pestering me for their own selfish wants. Have you ever been to Washington before, miss?
No.
What have you seen so far?
Well, I saw the theater where Lincoln drove his Ford into a booth.
I beg your pardon?
Well, what's the difference? You wouldn't like the picture. Then I went out to Mount Vernon.
Yes?
They don't have any candy.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, and I saw Washington's monument.
Quite high, isn't it?
Yes, I wonder how he got down when he finished it.
Just a moment, miss. I've never run into anyone quite, start slowly. Now, where are you from?
My home is in New York. I don't think I can give you my name or phone number because I'm going around with Al.
Al?
Yes. I'm angry at him. You see, I came down here with Richard Rhinelander about some underprivileged children.
Richard Rhinelander?
Yes, Senator. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you by your first name. But, gosh, it's so nice of you to talk to me like this. I miss my mother and father so.
Well, are they dead?
No, they're married. Well, I better be running along, sir. Goodbye. Hello, everybody.
Oh, honey, for goodness sakes, where have you been?
Oh, nowhere in particular, just killing time. Talking to a nice man.
Oh, well, I'm relieved. We've been waiting for you. Well, come on, Richard. We're set.
All right, let's go. Oh, that darn phone. Hello?
Mr. Rhinelander?
Yes?
This is Senator McLean.
Oh, yes, Senator. Well, I've been trying to reach you all day.
Well, I thought it was another favor seeker, but now I know differently. I see your message here, and I want you to have those buildings for the Children's Recreation Center.
Well, Senator, I'm overwhelmed. But to what do we owe this sudden decision?
Well, I ran into a young lady who said she was a friend of yours. A blonde.
A blonde? Well, hey, that must be Irma.
I don't know how she got that way. But we must never let it happen to any other New York child. The name is yours. Goodbye.
My Friend Irma, presented by Swan, another fine product of Lieber Brothers Company, was produced by Cy Howard. Tonight's script was written by Cy Howard and Park Levy, and starred Mary Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane. The part of Professor Kropotkin was played by Hans Conry. Friends, we all know that the Red Cross has a bigger job to do than before the war. Did you know, for example, that today the program for veterans alone is nearly 12 times greater? For the armed forces, nearly 5 times greater? Well, those are a few of the facts, a few of the really serious problems the Red Cross must meet. Yes, this year the Red Cross needs $75 million to bring help and relief to millions of people. So please give generously. Tune in next week 1 hour earlier and listen to the Lux Radio Theater, immediately followed by My Friend Irma. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From March of 1948, it's been My Friend Irma with The Big Secret. In a moment, crime classics and the case of Blackbeard's 14th wife, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Crime Classics is a neat little series of true crime stories from the records and newspapers of every land from every time as it billed itself. It came to CBS in September of 1953. The host was the fictitious Thomas Highland, played by Lou Merrill, and described as, quote, a connoisseur of crime, a student of violence, and a teller of murders. The production crew was among radio's finest. Elliot Lewis, as producer-director, created the show from his large personal library of crime cases. Those range from 17th century murder to the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear with crime classics and the case of Blackbeard's 14th wife from November of 1953. Another classic radio moment from the audio vault of yesteryear.
This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Highland with another true story of crime. Listen. That's a pair of scissors, hand wrought in gold in the shape of a peacock. The young lady who's using them is trimming her husband's beard. The beard has just been washed to get the blood out of it. For, a few hours ago, out on the bounding main, her husband stabbed a few fellows from up close. And the beard has been perfumed, too, to get the gunpowder and sulfur smells out of it, because there's just been a battle. And now the beard is being trimmed, before curling, because her husband is very vain about his beard. It is a black beard, which caused some 18th century pundit to dub him Blackbeard. His real name, Edward Teach. Profession, pirate. His wife, Hannah. Hannah's all done. The beard's all ready for curling. Such a good wife. Oh, no, she wasn't. Tonight, my report to you on Blackbeard's 14th wife. Why, she was no good for him.
Crime Classics. A series of true crime stories from the records and newspapers of every land and every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland, connoisseur of crime, student of violence, and teller of murders. Now, once again, Thomas Highland. The year of 1714. The place is the Caribbees. Two vessels locked in combat. One flying the Skull and Bones. The other, the three-penitent gonfalon of the Duke de la San Alban. The very Duke de la San Alban who boasted to history that his 40-gun vessel La Panque would never be boarded by pirates. Well, it was, wasn't it? And the Duke, he was defending himself against a pirate, Edward Teach by name, and here's what was happening. Teach had just disengaged into the cart line. The Duke parries cart. There goes Teach into the Valestra, calculated to throw the Duke off balance, but the Duke parries, goes into a doublé, a Molinet now, lunge, parry, and Teach faints in the advance, 1-2, lunges. And the Duke goes down without a sound. Which, as you will recall, is the way the Duke swore he would die. So Edward Teach and his pirates won the prize La Panque, renamed it Queen Anne's Revenge, and sailed disguised as merchantman into Jamaica. Here, in a small waterfront cafe, he made friends.
Now, let's drink a toast, eh, Captain?
Aye, I'll make you one. I drink to Captain Edward Teach.
To yourself, Captain?
To Captain Edward Teach. Whose name's going to be known about.
What a one you are. Isn't he a one, mate, huh?
Oh, he's a one.
You shot my captain.
You rather wish it was you.
You shot me, Captain Teach. I would not be able to drink to Captain Teach.
Drink you.
Don't shoot me, Captain. I drink high to Captain Teach. I drink high to Captain Teach, whose name going to be known about.
Drain it.
Captain.
Drain it, or I'll let what you drunk out again.
To Captain Edward Teach.
I need me a mate. You'll be mate to Captain Teach. Aye.
That's how Edward Teach got a first mate. His name was Kirk. And you might like to know that later in his career, Kerf struck out on his own vessel, crew, and Jolly Roger. But Kerf, in his very first encounter with a Britisher, got pinned to the mast by a cutlass. So we know that his period of association with Teach was happier than when he worked for himself. Teach and Kerf sailed from Jamaica, where they'd met, to Nassau. On the way... And they captured the sloop Invincible, threw all her hands to the sharks, took aboard her booty, then scuttled her. And in Nassau, on the silver sands of Nassau, when the silver moon was younger than it is now...
Oh, it's so silky. And curlsome. Oh, and beautiful.
Some call me Blackbeard.
Blackbeard.
Well?
The name is apt.
Hannah.
Oh, so silky.
How many years have you, Hannah?
Enough to let the wisdom in.
Of what?
Of men. Yes, even men with black beards.
But none such as mine, huh?
None, sir. It is true.
How many years have you, Hannah? Actual years.
6 and 10.
Yeah. Well, your wife to me.
Such as you, when you have no wife.
Here I have no wife in the Bahamas.
But elsewhere?
Mary, Genevieve, Margot, Prudence, Molly, Sharon.
How many?
13. 13, Hannah. A number which is not lucky.
And this is the reason you wish to wife me?
The touch you have with my beard. I'm lonely for it.
I'll marry with you, but...
But what?
This pirating of yours...
What of it?
You play at it.
How play?
You'll be one of many pirates. Small men with small wants and small names... Do you not wish a large name?
Some call me Blackbeard.
Then make the most of it.
What do you know of pirate?
Look to me.
And?
Now fan out your beard. So. And in braids over your ears. So. And punk to light among its silk. And under your hat lighted matches. Oh, what a fearsome thing. What terror could you conjure, Blackbeard of Hades? Well, well, what think you?
I would kiss you.
Then do it. Oh, and now I wish a wish to make.
Woman, a wedding wish, that's what.
Yes.
Then name it.
Shall I?
The highest star that sends a glimmer on, yours. The moon that orbs us silver on darkened sea, yours. And the sun that...
Oh, pooh.
What?
Pooh, I said. I wish none of these.
Then what?
This island. This Nassau. What laughter?
That you have but 16 years and such a dream.
This island. I want it.
And you shall have it.
Now.
Later.
What manner of rapscallions be you two?
When my mate has a crazing for an apple, he has no care whose table it is off, nor yours, the governor's.
And I sentence both of you to the gibbet.
For eating an apple?
For murder. For the murder of my guard.
It was the only way we could get to see you.
Oh? And what profession do you have, besides rapscallery, that is?
Piracy.
What say you?
Having finished of the apple, my mate says piracy.
And I say it twice. I sentence the two of you to the gibbet. Guards, take these two rags to hang
them. Haste not, Governor.
Oh?
Haste not, because I say.
Saying?
I am here on an errand of romance. I am here on an errand of beauty.
Oh?
I have this morning been wed to a girl of 10 and 6.
I fight back the salty tears.
You will weep.
Make me weep, condemned man.
Aye. This girl of 10 and 6, she wishes a wedding gift.
How like a maiden?
She wishes this island. This city and all that's in it.
Then I will instruct Hangman to hang thee by a rapid method he knows, so thy bride cannot ask thee for the world.
Just this island, and she will have it.
Oh?
Oh, indeed, if my calculations are correct. What say you, mate?
Take these clowns and... What is this?
Go to the window and you will see it, Governor. 4 sloops there are of yours in the harbor. They will die there. My vessel, Queen Anne's Revenge... And the men that's on will sink your ships and block your harbor and hold captive your city. Say ho, Governor, so long as your mouth is open. Say ho and believe it. I'll get you to the window and look.
Then gave apples to everybody. Everybody except Edward Teach. Him, he gave the Bahama Islands. It was a good thing, too, else Nassau would have been put to the torch. All the pirates enjoyed this state of affairs very much. No wonder. Let us look in on a typical week in the life of Blackbeard's pirates. Monday, leave Nassau and pick up the trade winds, straddle the Gulf Stream someplace, and wait for a prey. Then...
Rush back to starboard!
Then... Then...
Hand me my beard and hair matches.
Then...
How do I look?
Terrifying. The French will quiver in their silk.
And then... And Blackbeard never lost a fight. True, some of his men would get killed and have to be given to the sea, but the survivors never had it so good. Like as not, they were back in Nassau by Friday night. And there were welcome arms to greet them, with Caribbean poultices to soothe their wounds. And on Saturday night, what they liked to do best was pay homage to their leader.
I give you Captain Edward Teach. I give you Blackbeard, whose name is known about.
Oh, they love you so much, Edward.
And this place.
Oh, it's a pity.
What is?
Walk with me, Edward, outside a while.
Yes.
I said, Edward, that it's a pity.
And I asked, what is?
That we shall leave here soon.
But these 6 months...
You notice that less and less ships appear?
Aye, that is so.
But this, there are many ships along the Carolina coast.
Aye. And so?
Many ships which carry provisions and stores to the colonies, and many ships bearing riches back to Europe in return.
You're a bright tuckling.
Good wife to you.
Aye, indeed.
Wait? Will we do it? Will we go to the Carolines?
But Nassau, this I gave to you, and hardly have you used it.
I've used it enough. Now the Carolines.
If you wish it.
I wish it.
Yes. Good wife.
Oh, silky beard. Curlsome, silky black beard.
They sailed a week later. And the night before they disembarked on the shores of North Carolina, Blackbeard and his pirate crew gave Mrs. Blackbeard a party on her birthday. She was 10 and 7. Listening to Crime Classics and your host, Thomas Hyland. Dramatic actors play comedy roles, comedians interpret the drama. This Friday night, as CBS Radio's Stage Struck introduces that exclusive theatrical fraternity, The Players. Participants will be Franklin P. Adams, Gene Hirschholt, Jimmy Cagney, Ray Bolger, Bobby Clark, Charles Coburn, Cedric Hardwick, Bert Lahr, Charles Lawton, and hosts more of The Players. It's Friday night on CBS Radio's Stage Struck, now heard half an hour later on most of these same stations. And now once again, Thomas Hyland and the second act of Crime Classics, and his report to you on Blackbeard's 14th wife, why she was no good for him. I would like to say a few words about governors. New World governors, vintage early 1700s. First of all, I would like to say that many of them had brothers-in-law back in England at court, connections. Or else they had won an important battle, or took part in an important scandal. Or they were just fellows who the king or queen didn't want in the old country anymore. Some of the colonial governors of this era were wise and intelligent administrators. But others were cheaters. That is, thieves. That is, they stole their colonies blind. Let us then look in on a scene. The governor of North Carolina and Edward Teach, pirate, standing in the reception room of the governor's mansion, with their arms about each other's shoulders.
I hear they call you Blackbeard.
Yes.
I hear you stick lighted matches in your beard and in your hair.
Yes.
Just don't do it when I'm around.
Just don't go to sea, Governor.
Why should I?
It's good here in North Carolina, isn't it?
Oh, better. Since you surrendered to me, the people cheer me when I walk the streets.
And they cheer me, too, since you issued the writ granting amnesty to me and my men. It's a good feeling.
Worth 1,000 gold pieces you paid me?
My wife said you would have been satisfied with 500.
How was your wife?
Very good.
She was right.
Pirate. Governor.
Call me pirate again.
Pirate. Sea robber. Swashbuckler. Listen.
Yes?
Let's conspire.
Again?
Again.
Good.
The men are restless. They're grumbling.
Oh?
They want to go to sea again.
And they want a good fat galleon to plunder.
Yes.
The vessel Angel's Head is due to arrive about a week from now from Portsmouth.
Oh? Carrying what?
Sugar, gold, silks, and 2 ladies from the court.
A week from now?
Yes. And Captain Teach.
Aye?
The 2 ladies from the court. One of them is Lady Barbara Falmouth. You must know why she's leaving England.
As I heard.
But it's true, every word of it. And Captain.
Aye?
Of the rest of the booty.
50%.
Like always.
Like always.
I'll walk with you to the door.
Blackbeard went immediately then to the den where his pirates were grumbling and told them the news. They stopped grumbling, hailed him a merry, merry, merry lad, and sharpened their cutlasses. A few days later, they put to sea and... The results of which? Sugar, gold, silk confiscated, 2 ladies of the court never heard of again, and the ship Angel's Head put to the torch. This was just about the way things went. A chat with the governor...
The ship Las Flores from Lisbon, due in a fortnight, Captain.
Tell the boys... Put to sea and... Then...
Half for you, Governor. Half for me.
And once, after a particularly successful sortie...
Half for you, Governor. Half for me.
Tonight we shall have a ball.
Good.
Bring your wife.
I will.
Lieutenant Maynard is Hannah Teach.
Delighted.
Lieutenant of what?
You'll excuse me.
Lieutenant of what?
Of the Navy, His Majesty's. Miss Teach.
Mrs.
Oh, you're joking.
For nearly 2 years now. Edward Teach is my husband.
Edward Teach? Blackbeard?
Yes. Would you care to meet him?
Well?
My husband's a big man and a strong man. Are you frightened to meet him, Lieutenant?
I would very much like to meet your husband. Where is he?
He was standing there a moment ago, speaking with the governor's lady.
Then another time.
Come, we will look for him.
Really?
Come.
Very well.
Edward?
But that was your husband who we saw pass us and go toward the...
Hush.
Why did you not call out to him then?
Hush.
Really?
Bend to me.
Really?
Yes.
Very well.
Oh, how soft is your cheek. Soft and beardless.
Your husband's beard is truly magnificent.
It reeks either of battle tar or perfume. I cannot stand it.
Really?
Really.
Mrs. Teach...
If you say it softly, you may say Hannah.
Hannah.
Just so.
How many years have you?
10 and 8.
I have 20 and 1.
Bend to me again the softness of your cheek.
I want to.
Oh, so young.
As you are young.
Hold me.
I want to. Hannah?
Yes?
No, what I mean is, where does your husband hide his ship?
What?
I am curious of it. Where does he hide his ship?
In the province of Friendship, the third inlet off the river. Why?
I was curious of it.
Do you have a curiosity?
About all things.
About me?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I hate the governor of North Carolina.
Of course you do.
Now listen to me, Lieutenant Maynard. Before I was governor of Virginia back in England, do you know what he did to me?
Well, I heard...
You heard? How did you hear?
The governor of North Carolina, he tells everyone...
I hate him!
And he shall have his due.
Yes.
When word gets back to England that his river harbors the notorious pirate Blackbeard...
And that the governor shares the pirate's booty...
All I need is 2 sloops, governor.
And you shall have them. And a reward.
What reward?
Bring me the head of Blackbeard and name your reward.
Really?
Really.
Thank you, Governor.
Hannah.
Yes, Edward?
I'm tired.
You don't look well, Edward.
I mean, I'm tired of this life. Of piracy, of slaughter... Come to the bow of the ship. I want to show you something. Look there.
And to see what?
The land.
What of it?
The governor has promised me all the land from my vessel at anchor as center and 10 miles in radius out from it in the form of a circle. What do you think?
Oh, you are tired, Edward. Somehow older. Yes, to me, older. And your beard.
What of it?
Gray.
Where?
Here, and here.
What? Watch! Watch! What was that?
Who's looms? Men of war! Stop it! Flying the royal flag coming this way!
This is what happened. Maynard's 2 sloops closed on Blackbeard, one on each side of Teach's vessel, and the 3 ships were held together by grappling hooks. And it was a furious sight. There was not one man on either side who did not receive some mark, who did not add some of his blood to the slippery decks. Then Blackbeard was boarded amidst a hail of grape shot in which Blackbeard received 3 pellets in his leg. Maynard found the pirate leaning against the mainmast, shot him. And the men fell back to watch their captain's duel. It was a wonderful duel, and it lasted over an hour. And toward the end of it, Maynard Dublade then advanced in Kona de Cis Cot Cis. Teach parried, then performed a striking Molinet and lunged into the cart line. Lunged and slipped. Slipped, yet on his knees, parried Maynard once, twice, but the third time... Teach was dead, and the duel was over. And so was the battle, for Blackbeard's men had no heart for it anymore. Lieutenant Maynard, having declared himself victor and new master of Blackbeard's boat, went below into the pirates' quarters.
Hannah.
Oh, my darling.
Get up, Hannah.
Oh, bend your cheek to me.
I don't want to.
What?
Come on deck, Hannah.
For what reason?
Wife of a pirate and his spur.
For what reason do you want me on deck?
To be hanged.
Really?
Upon my word.
And this is what Lieutenant Maynard did to the Teach family. He wrecked it. He hanged Hannah Teach, and he cut off Edward Teach's head. The head he mounted on the prow of the ship and sailed it proudly into Roanoke Harbor, tacking beautifully in such a manner that the black beard of Edward Teach streamed gracefully on the soft evening wind. A gull soared down to have a look, but when it saw what it was, it screamed and flew away. Blackbeard's 14th Wife, tonight's crime classic, was adapted from the original court reports and newspaper accounts by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. The music was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann, and the program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Thomas Highland is portrayed on radio by Lou Merrill. In tonight's story, William Conrad was heard as Teach, Betty Harford as Hannah, and Alastair Duncan as Maynard. Featured in the cast were Ben Wright, Joseph Kearns, Richard Peel, and Jack Crucian. Bob Lamont speaking. Hear The American Way, starring Horace Height, Thursday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
From November of 1953, it's been Crime Classics with The Case of Blackbeard's 14th Wife. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today, but be with us again next week and invite a friend to listen. Together, enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Sat listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Copyright the Swing and Big Band Preservation Society Incorporated. All rights reserved. KSSR DB San Francisco, where the big band swings.